Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is part of the You Haven't Heard This Productions and Publications Network. For more great shows and blogs and vlogs, please visit www.yhhtmpc.com.
Welcome to YHHTMPC.
Wait. What does that mean exactly?
Oh yeah, you haven't heard This Music Podcast, a show about introducing lesser-known music of lesser-known artists from all over the world. And now, without further ado, a one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast. This is episode 18. Welcome back. It's been a few weeks. We've had some trouble. We're not going to mention the missing episode. You haven't had a glitch in your little timeline of your podcast and that. It just didn't happen. It happened a couple of times for us and then didn't happen at all. So forget about that. Don't worry about me waffling.
So I'll edit it.
Yes. If you're wondering what all this is about, we are a podcast about lesser-known artists and lesser-known bands and music we think you should really check out, under-the-radar artists that are as good, if not better than that, in the mainstream. And that's it. If you're on Side A is our... So this is a magazine-style show. We've got many sections. We'll go through it as always. We start with the icebreaker. We'll go into the head-to-head. We'll play some songs right the way through. Stick with us. It'll even be some absolute disaster of an intense hardcore this week, I think. But we'll get to that later. And if you've been following the podcast, you know what we do. You know that we make our own songs when we come to the genre challenge. And this week it's
awful.
I think we actually may invoke some sort of spirit from the netherworld. I'm worried about it, to be honest. But anyway,
or we'll lose listeners.
Yes, the dulcet tones you hear there are the other host of the show, Richie Sailor. Richie,
hello, Wayne. How are you? Have you had a good week?
It's been all right, mate. Yeah, it's not too bad. You know,
good.
Same old. Our other host, Mike Five, unfortunately, has cried off because he's not very well. So get well soon, Mike, and he'll be back for the next podcast, no doubt. And we always have a guest on the show, and this week is no exception. We have a guest in the form of Chris Taverner. Say hello, Chris. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Brilliant. Yeah, good. For those of you who don't know, quick brief introduction, couple of sentences about what you do, Chris.
Yeah, so I'm a singer-songwriter originally from Cheshire. I write sort of folk and rock songs that have a sort of a satirical slant on them. They're very tongue-in-cheek, not often from my own perspective, but yeah, a bit of a comedy angle on my music too. And I've been kind of releasing singles in that vein, and a couple of EPs and a live album too for the past few years.
Excellent. And we'll get to know Chris a bit later on when we come to the artist spotlight. As I said, it's a podcast of many sections, and that's pretty much it. If you would be so kind, everything we do lands on the page yhhtmpc.com, and everything that is podcast related goes through that, as well as the other podcasts that we support. I say we, it's Rich. Rich does all of this shit, everything. Whatever you see on that part, on that website, is all down to him. So if you are a podcast who gets promoted by Rich, it's Rich who does it. Just FYI, it's always Rich. I don't think we shout out enough that Rich does all of that shit. No, nobody else does. But yeah, you can go over there and have a look at that. You can sign up to our Patreon. You'll get pushed to the front of the queue. You'll be listened to quicker than everybody else. And you'll be played on the B-side as well. As well as all the silliness that we do. If me and Rich both write a song for the genre, we only play one on the podcast. And another one will be on Patreon. So if you... I can't believe I'm saying this. If you want to hear more, you can go to Patreon.
No, they don't.
So, that's pretty much it. So go over to there and have a look at all that randomness and enjoy all the other podcasts that they're promoting through the Mind Gap podcast. And there's Mark Schuster, who does band interviews, and there's about 6 million other people, because every time I go over there, something new's happened. So yeah, well done to you, Rich, by the way. I never say it enough, so well done for pushing this along this year. Have I missed anything?
No, not really. I'm just going to ask, does Chris have his own podcast? Because he's set up the sound coming from over where he is. He sounds more professional than we do.
That's purely by accident, I have to say. I can't hear what I'm sounding like, but I'm surprised it's as good as you guys sound. That's good to know. Good
Mine
to know
will sound okay post-edited, but I don't think I'll need to do anything to your sound.
Oh, brilliant. No, I can't take any credit for that. Pure fluke. But I did want to ask as well, you just mentioned Richie's responsible for a lot of it. Is Richie also in the thumbnail? Because I've been wondering who that
yes,
is.
Yes, Richie is the thumbnail. Yes.
The whole if
you,
week.
You know what, Chris? 5 years we've been doing this podcast, nobody's ever asked who the thumbnail is, but Richie is
really?
The thumbnail. Yeah, Richie is
the
thumbnail.
First time.
I just keep imagining that's you, Richie, and I can't. I had to confirm it.
Yeah, it is.
That was back before we even recorded an episode. That was, you came up with that logo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Talking about flukes, I forgot to mention our podcast AI for the week, who is it Brian this week, did you say?
It's not Brian, no, because he freaked the shit out of us, so we didn't bring him.
I love Brian.
In fact, the listeners won't have got to hear Brian. I should have brought him back, really, because this will be released around about Halloween time, and he was really fucking scary.
He was brilliant.
He sounded how I imagine Michael Myers would sound if he spoke.
Imagine Ralph Ineson from The Office, and amongst other things, very northern accent, but he's got a very, very horrible cold, and he's being really dark about fucking everything.
He sounds like an angry farmer pirate from Scotland with throat cancer.
He wasn't Scottish. He was more.
I don't know where the fuck he was from.
Anyway, he's not here this week, so we're going on about him, but he's not here. So
we'll have to bring him back now, because we've bigged him up.
We'll have to bring him. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Yeah. Oh. We're back with Austin.
Oh, it's Austin. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks. Simply fucking buzzing with anticipation at the thought of reading shout for you. Quick, let's get on with this fucking shit show before I burst with excitement.
Well, it's good to have you with us. I don't know if that's true. No, thanks for being here, Austin. So we'll move straight on to the first section of the show, which is the icebreaker.
Icebreaker.
Okay, so the icebreaker, I'll be doing this, obviously, is we've got three games. Each game has three rounds. The first game that we'll be playing, it's more fun when we've got more people, but it'll be weighing against Chris. And the first game will be, you've got to guess who the artist is from the interview. And the first voice you hear in each interview will be the artist in question. Okay, so... any questions before I carry on?
Nope.
No. Seems simple enough. Just shout your name out if you've got the answer, and we'll go from there. So this is our first artist interview.
And you work on it, and then you think, it'd be curious. And you already got your relationship with the song. And you think, but it'd be curious if that person would take it that away. And that means, in this...
Go on.
Is it Björk?
It is Björk.
Oh, he's quick.
That was quite good. I didn't think you'd get that one. Okay. Here's our second artist.
Like, honestly, one of the most special days of my life. I was doing the...
Oh, Chris.
They were doing a tribute.
Go on.
It's Ed Sheeran, isn't it?
It is Ed Sheeran.
Ooh.
Wow. This one's going to be close, I think. Right. This is our third and final artist of this game.
Over the years, you know, I had such a lot of songs.
It's George Harrison, isn't it?
Fuck me. Wow. Yeah, I threw that one in, I thought that one's going to throw a bit of a spanner in, and somebody might say John Lennon, maybe Paul McCartney, but I thought George Harrison would be the last one I'd get. You're obviously a big Beatles fan.
I'm a huge Beatles fan, probably the first band that I kind of really fell in love with their music, and so I've listened to their interviews an awful lot. Unfair advantage, I'd say, on that question.
Wow. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Beatles, but probably not that much. The next game we're going to play, is Guess the Song with Austin. Austin is going to read out the lyrics to a song, and you have to chime in and tell me what the song is from the lyrics that he's reading out. This is the first song, so Austin, can you read out the lyrics, please?
The future teaches you to be alone, the present to be afraid and cold. So if I can shoot rabbits, then I can shoot fascist bullets for your brain today.
Go on.
Are you going with Manic Street Preachers if you tolerate this?
That is, yeah. Very well done. Okay. So this is our second song.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the car. So come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna beer bust like I had last week.
It's Mambo number 5, isn't it?
It is Mambo number 5. Wow. Wayne's on form this week.
Wow, he's on fire.
Right, last song of this game.
Disco dancing with the lights down low. Beats are pumping on the stereo. Neighbors banging on the bathroom wall. You're saying crank the bass. I gotta get some more. Water's running in the wrong direction. Gotta feel it, it's a mixed up song.
Skills are loud, sound is underground.
Fucking hell, Wayne.
Oh, wow. I sort of recognised that and I couldn't place it. I was really...
It makes it so difficult when the words are being read out rather than sang, doesn't it?
It is. It's so much more difficult.
Okay, what we got next? Our next game... Oh, God, I've got 4 games. Did I say 3? It turns out I've got 4. So our next game is songs in reverse. So it's going to be the first minute of a song and played in reverse. So this is our first song.
Is it Help by the Beatles?
It is Help by the Beatles. Okay, so our next song.
Oh, is it Wannabe by the Spice Girls?
Yep, it is Wannabe by the Spice Girls. Okay.
Spice Girls fan.
You're a Spice Girls fan.
I like the Spice Girls, but I'm not enough to get it that quick.
Okay, so this is our final song of this game. This is going quite quick today. Final song. This one's quite easy, I think.
It's Bon Jovi, it's my life.
I need to turn the volume down on these because I'm struggling to hear you shout. But yeah, it is Bon Jovi.
It is.
What's the score so far, Wayne?
The score is...
Before we go into the final game.
It's 3 to Chris and 6 to me.
Oh no. We've got 3 left. You've got to absolutely ace it. And the final game is Guess the Theme Tune. Now, I've changed it up a bit this time because usually... What are you laughing at, Wayne?
Well, this is the round I always... So, cast your mind back, people, to episode...
You thought
2.
It was going to be a picture round, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Well...
It's a podcast, Wayne.
On episode 16, I had a fucking mare and lost to Mike. And everybody thinks I was angry at Mike. I wasn't. I was angry at myself because I could have won that hands down. I was just too fucking quick. And this is the round that fucked me up. And then we've had 2 episode 17s where I've won both of the icebreakers that never made it to fruition. Right,
yeah.
Go for it. Let's right,
so,
let
so this get usually it's 3 TV themes, but I've changed it up this time. There might be bonus points in there as well. So we've got a film theme, we've got a TV theme, and a theme from a game. This is our first theme in a way. See if you can get it.
Wayne. It's Terminator 2.
Fucking hell, Wayne.
What was it?
There's only a Terminator 2. There's only a few drums. How did you get that?
For those of you who don't know, I do run a movie podcast as well, occasionally.
Oh, yeah, you do, yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so this is our second theme.
Thank you.
nobody getting this?
No, this is the game, I'm sure.
Yeah,
this right?
is the yeah. game.
Shall I take a stab in the dark? Why not? Oh, no, I'm wrong. Is it Shinobi?
No, it's Street Fighter 2. There's a bonus point in this as well. If you could have got which stage it was, but I could give you a bonus point.
I would have needed that bonus point too to get back in this race. But
yeah, it was Street Fighter 2, and it was any Honda, idea of the, no, it was Chun-Li's stage.
Oh, it was one of the two, wasn't it?
Well, you can't win this now, Chris, unfortunately, but welcome to the show. And we'll play this last song anyway, just for shits and giggles. Yeah.
I could have got this by the first bar, but I wanted to see if Chris could get it.
It sounds like some kind of spy show or something.
No, it's the Monsters.
It is, it's the Monsters. You're probably a lot younger than us, Chris. It's probably what's going on there.
I've not heard of the Monsters, to
well,
be fair.
Well, Rob Zombie's just released a film. He bought the rights and he's just released a film of the Monsters. And I love the Monsters growing up. I fucking loved it. And it looks absolutely fucking shit.
What does it?
Yeah, it looks terrible. I will not watch it. It looks fucking terrible.
Okay, I've heard bad things about it, so...
Yes, very bad things about it. That's all I've heard.
Which is a shame. Okay, so that was the icebreaker. That's me done. Wayne, do you want to carry on?
Yes. So the icebreaker there, always fun. And I'm back.
I feel like we know Chris so well now. Like,
you know what I mean?
I've known him for years.
He's not a Spider-Man fan, you know.
We go way back now. Way back to the first question on icebreakers.
Yeah. If he puts a blindfold on, he can put Ed Sheeran out of a crowded room. You know what I mean? We know him intimately now.
And definitely a Beatle.
Definitely.
You know. Oh yeah.
Yeah. There's only one. Two left. He's, you know, 50-50 chance now. Right. So yeah. After that icebreaker, the inaugural icebreaker, we shall move on to the head-to-head. Right, onto the head-to-head. Now, this is a section of the show, if you're new to the show, this is where we bring one of the songs that has been sent to us by email, or Mike runs a label, one of his artists, or something that's been sent to him that he really likes, or he's on from his other podcast, he brings something from there. Rich does the same, he goes off, he gets millions of emails, same as I do, and we just pick one at random. Not at random, sorry, that's pick one we really like and we bring to the show, and then we put them head to head against each other, and then at the end we decide which one is our favourite for the week, and then the winner gets the points. I can't remember who won episode 16, Rich. I've just been looking back through my notes.
It's probably me.
I think it was, so as the victorious winner, because I do think it was you who won. Yes, I've just found it. Yes, it was you, so you can go first.
Lovely. Well, I'm bringing the artist Jake Morley with his song, So I Had a Dream.
So I had this dream.
I had this dream.
I had this dream.
Oh, I had this dream.
Maybe you could help me. What could it mean?
Oh,
I was on this big stage, and I'm singing proudly with 10,000 people. Cheering out my name. They seem to love me. It feels amazing. And I play as good a show as ever been played. Now afterwards this older guy appears in the room. He's not my dad but represents my dad. He tells me that he's proud of me. Gives me a hug. And that was when I woke up crying tears upon my this dream.
I had this dream.
I had this dream.
Oh, I had this dream.
Maybe you could help me. Mm-hmm. What could it mean?
Oh, 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 oh.
10,000 people. Daddy seems to be proud.
Daddy seems to be proud.
What could it mean? rage against the machine.
Rage against the machine.
Our plan was going well until I killed my younger self. And that was when I woke up feeling sure I must be dead. So I had this dream.
I had this dream.
I had this dream.
Oh, I had this dream.
Maybe you could help me. What could it mean? Our planet dying, coming
up to her knees.
What could it mean?
What could it mean?
What could it mean?
Dreams can be so strange.
I'm at the station, it's strangely quiet. I think I'm here to beg you not to leave.
Beg you not to leave.
Suddenly it's nighttime at a different station. When I see you waiting by your train.
Waiting by your train.
Now as I'm saying sorry, your body transforms into a thousand tiny flecks of brilliant light.
Flecks of brilliant light.
I wished I loved you better while you were still mine. And that was when I woke up. Turn to you and say, so I had this dream.
I had this dream.
I had this dream.
Oh, I had this dream.
Maybe you could help me. What could it mean?
Oh,
could have loved you better, but I realized it too late.
Realized it too late.
What could it mean?
What could it mean?
What could it mean?
Okay, so that was Jake Morley with So I Had a Dream. Austin, could you tell us a little bit about Jake Morley, please?
17 years ago, singer-songwriter Jake Morley's father, Colin, was killed in the London 7/7 bombings. Reluctant to talk about it publicly for a long time, Jake's third album, Some Things Are Like Other Things, finally addresses some of the mental health issues raised by the trauma. By confronting his helplessness and the concept of change in all its forms, he has ultimately found positive ways to move forward. Album opener So I Had This Dream acknowledges the complexity of loss, of loved ones, of innocence, and of self. Jake wraps his vulnerability in a protective cloak of arousing rockabilly arrangement plus lockdown choir, challenging the issues to reveal themselves. By the final track, No Drama, Jake reaches a peace and an acceptance that works well enough for now, which is all that anyone can hope for.
So, yeah, on paper, I should hate this song. Everything about this song screams... You shouldn't like it. The vocal, the backing vocals. It's almost like a 60s musical number. But for whatever reason, I really just like it. It's got a very commercial sound. Also, it's brilliantly produced. Great vocals. There's everything to hate about it, but there's nothing to hate about it. The sound. There's a very juxtaposition thing going on within it that makes no sense to me. I like it, but I shouldn't. So yeah, that is my choice. Who are we going to bring? Mike's next or yours, Wayne?
Let's go with Mike's in the middle there because he's not here to talk about it. So we'll play Mike's song next, which is Grim 17's Inadequate Start.
She'd left sometime. I wasn't paying mine. She tried to warn. I tried to fix her bruised form. She kept her past. I saw her through her plate glass. I saw a life. She saw nothing she could, like painting scars on wet card. Paint a
17 with Inadequate Start. I haven't really got much to say about it, to be honest, because Mike's got all the information on this, but I know that it was due for release early October, so you should be able to get this now. If you know Grim 17, he's part of the podcast somewhere. He's a producer, obviously an artist, a mixer, a master. He does a lot of stuff for Mike's Lights and Lions record company. He does a lot of the stuff that, you know, I think he's mixed some of Mike's the writing, what was it called, Rich? They all write an album and send it in.
Oh, you mean the
yeah, it's all over Twitter and I can't remember what it was called now. Sorry, Mike. But yeah, he does all that sort of stuff. And that's it. Grim, we played Grim quite a few times. He's been on the show as well. He's a friend of the podcast. He knows what he's doing with this sort of stuff. We'll talk about it in a little bit, but that was Grim with Inadequate, Grim 17 with Inadequate Start. So let's play mine then, Rich. Mine is called by a band called Disco in Sochi, and the song is called Diva. Enjoy.
Just give me a doctor, I'm out on the phone.
Right, so there you are. Disco in Sochi with the song Diva. So, disco in Sochi was initiated during the UK lockdown 2020, and it is the brainchild of Anglo-French Londoner Alex Allen. Born in Paris, Alex has always been surrounded by music, having musician-artist parents. There's a load of other stuff on there about it, King Kwan, Idols, all this sort of stuff. I think that's who he's influenced by. There's a lot of stuff on there. If you like disco and such, you just go have a look on Spotify and read all the rest of it, because that's where I just read that from. Look, it's a cool tune. And I'm all about the cool tunes. It's got this, you know, very current, very contemporary feel to it. You know, it's brilliantly well produced song that's got lovely fuzzy bassy tones right the way through. It's the sort of stuff I'm really, you know, I'm drawn to. There's no big sentiment to it. It's just a really cool track. It's an indie disco track all the way through. You know, this is the kind of thing that I was loving when I went to the Green Man Festival. It's that sort of thing. It's got like flavours of Donny Benet, who I saw at Green Man, Keg, the Viagra Boys, those sort of people, you know, that really high energy indie that just drives and drives and drives. It's that sort of thing. You know, it's just well done, that's it. And that's why I liked it. It's that raw indie sound. So that's the three songs played. Chris, do you want to go first? Tell us about the three songs and which one is your favourite.
Yeah, I loved all of those for different reasons. Yeah, the one you just mentioned there, the Disco Sachi, I thought the high energy feel reminded me a bit of the Hives as well. Yeah, that kind of like drive and bass sound. I really love that kind of energy. The singer really reminded me of someone's voice. I can't think who it was. Maybe it's Idols, like you mentioned there. But yeah, I love that. The second one, I like the acoustic kind of feel to it. And there was a time at the very when it came in with kind of the more production, I kind of was like, oh, a bit disappointed that it didn't stick with that acoustic kind of guitar feel. But then by the end, I thought it built it up really well. It was a really cool song. And then the first one, you mentioned old 60s musical, Richie. I definitely got that feel from that track. But then, yeah, I kind of really liked the kind of Americana feel to it. And particularly loved the kind of, you didn't know where it was going with the lyrics a lot of the time, I thought, like mentioning Olivia Colman and someone that disappeared into little pieces or something like that. I really liked how the lyrics was quite off the wall at points. So yeah, I don't know, really, really hard to choose, actually. It would be between you two guys' tunes for me. I mean, I'm not just saying that because you're the two that are here. But genuinely,
Mike would bring you over his charisma. See, if Mike was here, that's why you get the point. He's more charismatic than we are.
Oh, I wouldn't be swayed by that. But I think if I've got to choose one, it's probably mainly from the lyrics. I'm such a lyrics guy. I'm such a sucker for lyrics that I think I'll probably have to give it to Richie's one.
Lovely. To be honest, listening to some of your works, this isn't a stone's throw away from the kind of thing that you would do, I don't think.
Yeah, I would probably agree. Yeah, it is quite quite a quirky feel to it, which I enjoyed.
I'll go next one. I'm struggling between yours and Mike's because they're the only three songs, and I can't choose mine. I want to say yours, but there's something about Grim 17, the way he makes, I don't know, it's so unusual but so good at the same time. Usually unusual music isn't very listenable, but he's so good at it. His production's brilliant. He even put a bum note in there that, you know, I don't know if it happened by accident. He thought, you know, I'll just leave that in because it works anyway or whatever. But he's the kind of person, he could turn up with a guitar out of tune and decide, I'm not going to bother tuning it because I'll make it work. And, the way it changes up. I'm just going to get to Grim 17 and stop chatting shit.
Right, so that's one for you and one for Mike 5. So yeah, and to me, we spoke, this is the third time we played Grimm, the first time you lot have heard it, but the third time we played it, and I've wrote down the pretty much almost identical notes again this time as I did the first time. But the things I noticed this time, it's got like an island feel to it, like a Hawaiian island feel to where it starts. It's sort of going for that, you know, ukulele-esque sort of sound through the guitar. And I like the fact that he's singing about a broken person with that slightly out of tune, you know, bum note guitar. So he's sort of the guitar is reflecting this person's sort of state of mind or this person as they are. And I like that. You see, you know, that nice little bit of symmetry. That siren that comes in the ooing halfway through was just, I missed it the first two times because it really, really resonated. I love that bit. And, you know, it's really well structured. The build is great. And then when that bass comes in, it really sort of takes it to the next level, as it were, before stripping it all back. You know, I like that a lot. Your song, Rich, with Jake Morley. I mean, straight away, it's got this sort of folk gospel feel to it. As soon as it started, that's what I got. And then, you know, she's got this great voice. And then some really intricate little drum fills in there that were just sort of, they weren't very prominent and they didn't happen very often, but they were very noticed. And for me to notice, I pay very little attention to drums unless they're really in your face. So for me to notice those things, it must be really well done. It's got that brilliant call and response with the vocal. It put me in mind of like an evangelical church, you know, where the preacher's asking a question and the choir comes back with it sort of thing. And you know, preaching the good word sort of thing. Like Chris said, the wackiness of the lyrics, it almost follows the fluidity of a dream. You know, you're talking about Olivia Colman and Tom Morello and all these randomness in there, and then waking up and having, you know, that's what it is. I had this dream. And then the bombshell that Austin dropped out, that even Austin couldn't fucking sugarcoat at all, that he'd lost his dad in the 7/7 bombings. Fuck me. I didn't see that coming from fucking anywhere. So fair play to you, Jake, for moving on from all that and not letting hate take over. So well done for you for that. And you get the point, Rich, because I'm voting for Jake Morley's song as well. So Rich is the winner.
Well, thank you very much. If you can hear my child screaming in the background, he appears to have pissed himself, so...
we've all been there.
Yeah, so thank you very much. And that puts me 2 ahead of Mike on the leaderboard, I do believe.
I think so, yeah. The current scores are, I'm trailing with 3. Richie has 8 and Mike has 6, yes. He's correct.
Lovely, excellent. So shall we move swiftly on to the next
yes,
round?
Let's move on to the next session. Before we go check out all 3 of the songs, because we love all 3 of them. So go check out Disco in Sochi with Diva. Go check out Grim 17 with Inadequate Start. And definitely check out Jake Morley with I Have This Dream. You will find them all where you stream your music, I dare say. If not, they're on Spotify and are definitely on Bandcamp and more than likely on SoundCloud. So let's move on swiftly to the wild card.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right then, the wild card. This is the section of the show where Rich pulls up our emails on his computer, flicks through every single submission we've got, and Chris is going to shout stop and we're going to play that song. So it could be absolutely anything. It could be, what did we have that one week? That outsider music? That strange Christian-y music?
Yes, Christian music by people that couldn't play music.
But it wasn't. Yeah, anyway, we're not going to go into that. Right the way through to death metal and dance music. You name it. It
could be anything.
Though. Anything. Absolutely.
It could be amazing. It could be dog shit. We'll see. So, Chris, I am currently flicking through the emails. When you're ready, you can say stop.
Okay.
So I'm flicking. And flicking.
Stop.
Okay. Right. So we have... the Infidels bringing you Hot New Blues with Sea Red, with their song Sea Red, released August the 26th. Now, let's get Austin to tell us a bit about these people.
Infidels provide the soundtrack to a film in your head, a shimmering cinematic score that provokes and soothes in equal measure. With elements of classic songwriting in the mold of Burt Bacharach and J.J. Cale, married to a yearning, rootsy groove that pulls you in and seduces, like that old lover you never managed to shake from your bones, Infidels make gloriously universal music that transcends time and place. Tracks such as the recent single Bad Apple and the euphoric How About You Move the Body and lodge themselves firmly in the mind, glittering bright and hard. West Coast craft meets East Coast soul. Let this beautiful noise become your spirit guide through the mess of these modern days and beyond.
Fucking hell, wow.
That's a big write-up, isn't it? Transcends time and place. I'm ready.
We have to guess what we think this is going to sound like, what it's going to be. And to be honest, I honestly don't know. I couldn't even hazard a guess at what I'm thinking that's going to sound like. Wayne?
Yeah, see, they start talking, you know, it's a bit bluesy and it's got, you know, a cinematic thing in your head. And instantly I'm sort of transformed to like an Orson Welles film like Touch of Evil. You know, I'm sure to God that Miles Davis did the soundtrack to Touch of Evil. I don't think it's going to be as jazzy and as, you know, sort of smouldering as that. I think it's going to be a bit more upbeat than that. J.J. Cale is very, you know, bluesy guitar to the max. So lots of like... meep, 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 lots of that in there, I think. So hopefully, yeah. I'm hoping it's not going to be too long either.
Have a feeling it's going to be like something Grim 17 would produce with some shouting over it.
Oh, okay. You're going the opposite way to me then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be super easy listening with a name like Infidels. I don't know. It might be quite abrasive maybe and somehow.
Well, I like that we're not all on the same page. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah. Okay then. Right, so this is Infidels with... Sea Red.
Find a way to burn. If you wanna see red, red.
The Infidels with See Red there. Well,
I'd say you were right of all of us. with the bluesy kind of spacey feel.
Yeah,
as well.
I absolutely fucking love that. That was brilliant.
I think you even when you imitated the guitar thing in your description of what it might be, you pretty much did what they did in the song.
Oh, they mentioned JJ Cale, and that's JJ Cale all over, so yeah. I mean, that intro is cool as fuck, innit? You know, that sort of low building, that's fucking brilliant, I love that. It's got a reed organ in, and I have, since doing the intense hardcore genre challenge, I really love reed organs for some reason, so when that turns up, I'm suddenly, a reed organ, getting all excited. I was bopping all the way through that, and I really enjoyed that he got that sort of blues and that jazz, but also quite soulful as well. Sort of really like underpinning the whole thing is, you know, that sort of boom, 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 boom. Lovely. Yeah, loved it. Rich.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad wild card at all. I love the vocals. They're a bit off kilter. The backing and the front vocals were a bit off kilter from each other in places, and it just could have sounded like a mistake. But it didn't. It kind of added to the character of the song. It was just really good. It's interesting. I sometimes felt maybe the vocals didn't sit quite properly in the mix, but again, it didn't take away from it for me. So it was still, I liked it. Really good. Enjoyed it.
Chris?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. Really liked that Americana bluesy feel, and that guitar riff was really nice. The do-do-do-do-do-do. Kind of really enjoyed that. Yeah, like you said, a bit JJ Cale, even like modern sort of Black Keys sound as guess as well. Yeah, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, good tune. Where can these people find the Infidels, Rich?
On the internet. No idea. I can't. I've turned off, switched the email off. But if you do want to find them, I will leave links to them in the show notes, so you'll be able to find all their links there. That'll be on Facebook. That'll be on Spotify. That'll be everywhere. They always are.
I think I found the wrong Infidels.
I think I did a search for them too.
the Infidels are something completely different. They're like an electronic rock group. So yeah, I don't think it's them guys. Well, yeah, you can find these. Just put the Infidels in and into SoundCloud, because I'll probably be there. If not, try Bandcamp. And Rich will put a description anyway in the show notes. So just scroll down and have a look, and then just click on those guys, and you'll find them on Facebook or something. That's probably the best place to find them: Twitter and Facebook and Insta and all that. But yeah. Nice wildcard, Rich. It wasn't a bad one.
Yeah, excellent wildcard. Enjoyed that. Okay, so we're going to move on to our next section now. The next section, which is the intense hardcore genre musical challenge, man.
It's hardcore genre musical challenge. Go!
Right. A long time ago, back on episode 16, which feels like a very long time ago now, we were challenged to go and find the music of Organum. Now, Organum is, from Wikipedia, this is, it's plain chant melody with at least one added voice to enhance harmony and develop, and it was developed in the Middle Ages. There's a lot more to it than that. There's a lot more going out there. I guarantee you at some point in your life you've heard this music, unless you're a brand newborn to the planet. What was your feeling on this, Rich?
So I'm trying to find the song that we've done. I've called it because originally I did my own, didn't I? And then because we've had gaps in between 16 and now, I decided to take yours and go over the top of yours and do. I can't remember what I've done, but I've called it Gregory in a Trap.
Yeah. So, wow. I mean,
it's not Gregorian chant. It's apparently Gregorian chanting is a wrong name for it. It was quite groundbreaking when it happened, because church music was people singing originally just in a tone, and then they discovered how to create chords by mixing different voices and different tones and stuff, and it's basically where chords were first produced, but we're using voices in churches, and it's what you'd know as Gregorian chanting or church chanting. You've all heard it, and yeah, well, obviously.
Different. When we picked the name and it's Organum, I was like, okay, well, this is obviously going to be
some
sort of
porn music or something.
Well, I was going like pipe music, you know, like church organ music, you know, and then played like two tracks and was like, oh, it's like choral, you know, rhythmic chanting sort of choir work. I get it. So, yeah.
So, but basically, this never stops getting embarrassing. I really want to stop doing this, but obviously, I couldn't go on Twitter and ask it anybody. Is there any independent artists out there that do Organum music? Because there's not going to be. So, again, we've done this not because we're good at creating songs and music. It's because we're just trying to give you an example. I could have just downloaded some of my fucking YouTube. Nobody's going to give me a copyright strike against this shit. But we just decided to make some ourselves anyway. I apologise. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we decided that when we do the covers, it's going to be a cover of Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys in this in the style of the genre, because that's just what we did. I did a Western Swing Intergalactic last time, which was interesting to say the least. This time, it's Beastie Boys Intergalactic in the style of Organum. And again, I apologise. Don't take it too serious. Don't email me telling me it's shit. I know it's shit.
This one is shit.
It's awful.
The stuff we've done in the past where I've gone, actually, I'm quite proud of that. Some of these I've took, me and Neil, one of the other former host of the podcast, we do a little side project, a little side band that we, you know.
Well, just you and Neil?
I just said Rich comes along occasionally. You managed two rehearsals this year, I think. And we have a little get together. And I've took some of the songs that we've wrote for this to that rehearsal just for a laugh, just to have a play them.
You won't be taking this one.
This one will never see the light of day again.
I think I might have put some music underlying in this. I can't remember what I did. I'm so sorry. Anyway, this is Gregory in a Trap by Richie and Wayne.
Oh my God.
Intergalactic, planetary, intergalactic, planetary.
Just want to stop. That's not the one that I did. I mean, that is one that I did, but it's not the one I did over yours.
That's not too bad. Play that one.
I like the suspense it was building there.
And I wasn't going to use it because it was fucking awful.
It was all right, that.
No, Wayne, it wasn't.
Compared to what I sent you over mine, that was a fucking masterpiece.
Gregory in a Trap. If I just called it chant, I might have just called it chant. I'll play what I think I might have done over yours, and then we'll let Chris decide which one stays on the show and which one goes into the Patreon. I think I've just called it chant. Oh, no, because Wayne plus Richie. That makes more sense.
Intergalactico, planetario,
untrod dimension.
Edit out the whole section and pretend it never happened.
I would just like to say, if that one makes it to the show, for God's sake, please don't play that on Halloween, because you will accidentally invert the apocalypse and destroy us all.
God, they're both so bad. I'm actually considering not
yours
having
is all right, mate.
Not
yours
having a genre section for this one. It's
yours is all right, and you beat yourself up there. I mean, I went as far as changing the lyrics into, I think it might have been Latin or Italian. I thought, oh, yeah, we'll go with something a bit exotic. That's why they're all off.
Oh, they're so bad. So bad.
It's our worst one,
I think. It's our worst one. Worst genre section by far.
I love the fact that you start.
It's even worse than me just splashing in a bath for the Liquindi episode.
You preface this entire section with, I don't think we should do this. And the other day you had a whole conversation on Twitter about putting this out as a charity CD.
No, I was joking. Mike really wants to take these songs and put them out as a charity CD. Now, I just want to say that if that did happen, we'd give it to someone first to absolutely produce the shit out of it. They would absolutely mix it up and it wouldn't go out like, they'd have to do so much work.
Like I said in that message to you, if I honestly thought this was ever on the cards about it being put out, I'd have tried a lot harder.
Yeah. So, Chris, I did you want to say anything about what you just heard?
Well, it's a hard choice. I think, as Superhands would say, they both invoke a powerful sense of dread.
For completely different reasons.
Completely different reasons, yeah. I really, apart from that, I'm lost for words.
Okay. I mean, if you chose mine to go on the show, obviously I'd trim it down a bit and make it end properly. But it's completely up to you. Which one do you think would sound better in the episode?
I think we have more of a reaction to the second one.
There's definitely a reaction to be had.
It's called the gaping hole and gateway to hell.
And not just a reaction, not just from us, but from different realms.
Yeah.
Okay, then, so
the spirit door was that one, I think.
Okay, hell. So you will have heard the song that me and Wayne did together. And I apologise for that. But if you want to listen to the one that I did on my own, don't know what you would. But you're going to have to pay for that. Which isn't an incentive to go on our Patreon, to be honest, if I'm being honest. Which is probably why we only have 5 Patreons and one of them being me. Yeah, but yeah, okay, so yeah, let's work past that section now, Wayne. Let's move on quickly, Jesus.
Right, we're finished with the Intense Hardcore Genre Musical Challenge mode go, but we do have to choose a genre for next time, Rich.
Okay, so choose a letter, please, Chris.
A letter. F.
F for holy fuck.
Where are you from, Chris?
Cheshire is where I'm from, but I'm speaking to you from Manchester. That's where I live now, as of a couple of years back.
Okay.
Right, we have two pages of Fs. So page one or page two, Chris?
Page two.
Page two, right. It's a full page. So choose between, well, I'd say one and about 30. So number between one and 30.
Let's go 22.
22. Ooh, okay. So for episode 19, we're going to be exploring the music of French house. So it's exactly what it says it is. It's house music produced by French artists. That's all it's got written down here. So,
so it's like a bungalow that smells of garlic and frogs.
All of the stereotypes you could possibly manage for the French people. But yeah, so on the next episode, we're going to be talking about French house. Up for that, okay. Rich? Up for having a go at that?
I've got no choice. I'm going to try and find an artist that does it first. But, yeah, I mean, house music's a piece of piss anyway. I can easily produce three unique house tracks a day if I wanted to, but, yeah, I can't imagine French house being much different to any other kind of... I'm probably completely fucking wrong, and I'm going to be surprised, but...
Well, you've got to rap in French to...
Won't it? Well, it's house music... House music doesn't usually come with lyrics.
Well, you could put a few over in French, can't you?
House music with Intergalactic, okay.
Yeah, so on the next episode, tune in, we'll be doing French house. And on that note, we will be now moving on to the history section of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again. Episode 18 of... the history section of the show, the I don't know much about history. Pull up a rug, pull up a chair, and let's get settled in as we talk about songs from the past. And on episode 18, we'll be talking about, this is subtitled, Beware the Troll. And this is, as in internet trolls, songs that are used against trolls on the internet. So we're going to be talking about Edward Kill and his song, I Am Glad Because I'm Finally Returning Back Home, a.k.a. Trollolol. Now, Edward Kill was a celebrated Soviet-era performer and was named Honored Artist of the USSR. After a torrid childhood, Kill graduated the Leningrad Conservatory in 1960 and had various lead operatic roles, including Figaro in The Marriage of Figaro. After falling in love with pop music, he entered and won the All-Russian competition for performers. And after this, he went on to win and receive many accolades, including the Order of the Red Banner of Labour and the People's Artist of the RSFSR. In his career, he toured over 80 countries before his singing career started to fade in the 90s. So here is Edward Kill with his song, I'm Glad Because I'm Finally Returning Back Home.
Yeah.
Edward Kill with, I think, should I say his name, K-H-I-L, Kill, with this song, I Am Glad Because I Am Finally Returning Back Home. Now, on October 26, 2009, a video clip was uploaded to YouTube by a user called Real Papa Pit. The video was for Edward Kill's I Am Very Glad To Finally Be Returning Back Home. The video was later renamed Mr. Trollolol Original Upload and received 26 million views. This video is one of the famous bait and switch media clips, this being used to mislead and dupe people into clicking them and viewing something unintended. We've all been Rickrolled. I'm pretty sure every single one of us has been Rickrolled at some point. It's trolling, that's what it is. It's, you know, somebody being horrible to you or somebody being horrible on the internet. You send them either the troll face, you know, the one with the big chin, or you can send them this or Rickroll or something like that. I did try and find out where he knew this song, this Real Papa Pit, where he knew this song from, but I couldn't find anything on it. I'm guessing that he, you know, he stumbled across it, or his family knew this song because it was very big in the USSR. So I'm guessing that's where it came from, but I couldn't find... I should really... like list all the places that I've done my information, because none of this has come from YouTube, Wikipedia for a change, but I'm useless at that sort of thing, so I couldn't find it. So that's one of the things I was a bit upset about, because I would like to have now to tell you why he chose this song, other than the fact he does say trollololol, which is, you know, it's very on the nose, and I do like it a lot. Yeah, it's a fun little song, and I like the reason why it's used to piss these horrible bastards off on the internet. Other than that, it's just that little song, isn't it, Rich? What do you think?
It was clearly written in an age before the internet, so it wouldn't have been created for that.
No.
I heard... I don't know if it's true, but I heard that it was created because back in the USSR, obviously it was communist Russia, and you had state propaganda, and you could only watch what Russia wanted you to watch, and they were like North Korea, they want you to believe what they want you to believe, and they didn't want other messages coming in, so music was very regulated, and that's the reason there's no lyrics, because they weren't allowed that kind of thing. Whether that's true, that might have been more propaganda from America. I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like that could be the thing, and definitely because of the name of the song, I'm very glad to be, yeah, because I'm finally returning back home, you know, that is such a propagandary thing, come back to Mother Russia, come back to, you know, sort of things. So definitely, yeah. Chris?
Yeah, this, I've put a smile back on my face immediately after when I heard this song, because it, yeah, like you said earlier, it's just such a classic YouTube early internet history. That's what I associate it with, and yeah, I can't unassociate it from that, but it's really interesting that it came from that era of Russia, and fascinating that it might have been that they weren't allowed to sing lyrics at that time.
I don't want to say they weren't allowed to sing lyrics, because that doesn't seem right.
It didn't have to be like state approved, you know. Yeah. Like, you can't,
right,
sing.
Okay, so
what I love about
it was,
have you seen the video for this?
Yeah, he's on like a stage, isn't he?
It reminds me of if Mr. Bean did music.
Yeah. It's like on the Max Bygrave show or like Generation Game, is it? And now to end the show, we've got Edward Kill and his song, and he comes walking out in that fantastic tan brown suit.
I love the way how he's, when he's singing it, he's not singing any words. There's no story there. But as he's singing it, his face is telling the story. His face is... he's pulling faces as if each word he's saying something specific. It's so fucking strange.
Like
so weird. Yeah, well, but...
Well, funny you should say that, because the CIA actually watched this video and they interpreted his face, and it said, for fuck's sake, please get me and my family out of Russia because this place is fucking crazy. Didn't say that at all. I'm just making all that up.
Wayne and I worked in a factory some time ago, making furniture and shit. And I don't know if you remember this one. I don't know if you, because you worked in a completely different area. But one day we found on YouTube a friend of mine called Ben, because he was working with me. We found a 10-hour loop of this, and we put it on over the radio. We absolutely pissed everyone off of this all day. We literally played it all fucking day. I pissed myself off by the end of the day.
Wow, that's dedication.
Oh, good times. Rest in peace, Ultra Furniture. Oh, I miss that place.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's an interesting history section, Wayne. Another interesting history section.
We'll go for next week's. I'm struggling on the title of this, so I'm just going to go with this one. I'm going to go, oopsie, and we'll leave it at that.
I'm not going to hazard a guess, but I can't wait.
So join us next time to find out what that's all about. And now we'll finish up with the end of the show with the artist spotlight. Here we are, people. We are at the last section of the show, and we're here with Chris, who's been with us all evening, who's been joining in and enjoying all the, well, hopefully enjoying all the banter. Thanks
and
for
clearly
much
has being... lots of patience.
Lots and lots of patience. Yes.
I've really enjoyed myself.
We do this shit all the time, so we know, so yeah. So Chris, welcome along.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. No, it's been really fun. I've really enjoyed joining in the games and everything like that, and hearing, it's been quite an eclectic evening of music, I'd say.
That's what we do. That's what we're here for. But yeah, so like I said before, Chris, tell us all about you. How did you get into music? Let's start there.
So I got into, I kind of learned guitar at quite a young age, but I didn't really start writing songs until I discovered sort of artists like Bob Dylan, Randy Newman, when I was a teenager, and I started really getting into the lyrics. I've struggled to write songs about myself. I'm not someone who does that easily, so I've decided to write songs that were sort of character-based, storytelling songs, and then I kind of was writing those for a few years, kind of writing demos and that kind of thing, and then got out performing live and realized that some of the best stuff that I did was stuff that was sort of had a satirical edge to it and a bit of humor in it, and I noticed quite quickly people responded really well to that, really enjoying laughing along to the songs, so I kind of ran with it, and 6 or 7 years later, I've released a few EPs and a live album, and I've recorded with a full band, and I released a lot of studio recordings of my stuff. They all tend to be about certain characters that I've observed in everyday life, or not overly political satire, but just kind of social commentary stuff. Yeah, and that's the kind of music that I do, but I'm quite influenced by Bob Dylan, the Beatles, as you heard earlier, so some kind of classic rock sound to the music as well. It's with a little dabble of folk as well.
Lovely. So the satirical edge, where do you reckon that sort of comes from in your writing then?
I think it's partially because I'm a bit of a cynical person anyway.
The club.
Yeah, exactly. I feel very at home on this podcast. It's partially that, and then also I absolutely love old school comedy like Monty Python and that kind of thing, Eric Idle's songs, and kind of old like Loudon Wainwright songs, and I mentioned him earlier, Randy Newman as well. They all have those songs that are really intelligent sort of lyrics and very character based, and I love writing songs that have a bit of a story to them. They're the ones that I personally find that I'm pulled into, like the Dream song early that we were listening to, that they kind of pull me in because I love a bit of a narrative in a song that speaks to you and you can relate to, and takes you on a bit of a journey. So I think that's really where the humour and the satirical side of writing came in for me. I just enjoyed writing something that had a story to it.
You mentioned, so you're obviously a singer-songwriter. So most of the time it's just you and acoustic guitar singing in pubs and clubs and whatnot, I dare say.
Yeah, it is mostly. And I find that's really worked for me over the years, because if I'm performing with an acoustic guitar, especially with my material that's quite stop-start and it's it requires a bit of, you know, back and forth from the audience sometimes, or like stopping the song to make a gag, or like it's quite, you know, it's got moments of live stand-up comedy about it, so it really helps to have full control over what's happening on stage. So when it's just me and an acoustic guitar, it's quite nice. It's been a good way to operate. But every now and again I do like to play with a full band, because a lot of the studio tracks that I've released on Spotify are a full band kind of interpretation of the songs, so it's nice to do that on occasion. I've done them for album launches and EP launches, and in the future I'd love to take them on tour as well. Yeah, we'll see for the future. But I do love playing solo as well. There's something about that makes your interaction with an audience so much more personal and more like a conversation. If it's just you and you know, a small intimate crowd, seated crowd, often it's really nice to have it be a bit of a conversation between artist and audience, I find.
Going back to the band situation, is it to do with the song? If you think a song needs sort of more than just you and the guitar, is that why you bring the band in, or is it just down to preference and you feel like, oh, I want to do stuff with the band? Is it serving the song, or is it just a preference that you like to do occasionally?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both, actually. I mean, like I say, I am very much influenced by the Beatles and Bob Dylan and all those kind of artists who, Bob Dylan especially, would bring in the band for the studio stuff. And I think there's part of me, whenever I'm writing a song, I hear the band around me playing what I would imagine that they would be playing in. So I like to release it with a full band when it comes to Spotify and SoundCloud and sort of radio releases and everything like that. And it's also, from a practical standpoint, it's easier to tour as a solo artist at my level, especially in an independent level. It's easier to tour as a solo singer-songwriter than it is with a full band. So there's partly that as well, but I do find that you've got more ability to change things live on stage if it's just you performing with the guitar. So a bit of both, like you say. I think it does serve the song to have a full band version. Sometimes it catches the ear a little bit more, I think, for audiences if they hear something like that on the radio than an acoustic track.
So you were saying about Spotify, and you've launched some EPs and some live albums. Have you got an album in the works now? Is that what you're working towards, or have you dropped one recently?
So I've actually I put a live album out in 2018, which was a really fun way to capture what I was doing on stage, like I've just described. And I've put an EP out earlier this year. That's my latest release. But as for the future, I'm looking at trying to get a full studio album together in the future, I think, because everybody wants that debut album feeling. I would definitely like to. It's something in the works that I'd like to do. I've just started working with a studio called Green Velvet Studios in Manchester, and we had a really good kind of working relationship, so I hope that maybe I can go back to them and bring an album project to them in the future. I'm kind of writing songs at the moment and seeing where it takes me, really.
So the rest of the year, what's that looking like for you gigs wise?
Well, I've got a little tour in November. I'm touring with a chap called Thomas Benjamin Wild Esquire, which is quite a mouthful to say, but he's a banjolele artist, which again, harking back to that George Formby
thing. Is this the
chap
who did
thing.
The No More Fucks to Give?
That's him, yeah. That's him. That was his viral hit, and we've been collaborating a bit this year, and he kind of writes similar stuff to what I do, so we're doing a tour together. We're doing six dates across England, pretty much. Sadly for the rest of the UK, we're doing Nottingham, Brighton and Ipswich, Manchester, Chester, Liverpool in November. So that's the next thing that I'll be doing imminently. And then I've got a little World Cup song coming out very soon. And then, look into 2023, really. After that, I'll be kind of making plans for another tour that's I'm going to be announcing in the spring.
Lovely. Busy.
Good to be busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Indeed. Yeah. I'm sort of out of questions, Rich. Have you got anything you'd like to ask Chris?
Not really. Pretty much covered it all. We were supposed to have that guy on the podcast some time ago.
Pre-pandemic, I think, mate, that was.
I'm not sure what happened, but it never came off.
Oh, I'll mention it to him.
Yeah, we'd be happy to have him on the podcast. He seems like a good, funny character, so I think he'd get on well. Maybe get you both on at the same time.
That'd be brilliant, actually, yeah. Yeah,
We'd be happy to do that.
So the song you're bringing tonight, Chris, what are you bringing for us?
I thought it would only be appropriate to bring along the new World Cup song that I mentioned. This is a song that I did a parody of Three Lions last year when the Euros was on, because I really noticed that there were a lot of, because England did so well, there were a lot of, let's say in inverted commas, new football fans that suddenly appeared out of nowhere just when we reached the final. And suddenly you're looking round yourself at the pub thinking, I didn't think you liked football. Like, what? And then suddenly down the front with pints in hand and loving life and going absolutely nuts. And you're thinking, oh, well, never seen a game before now, have you?
They tell you all about the game and why this person's no good and why that person's no good.
Yeah, exactly,
and they've never watched a game in their life before. Now suddenly they're a fucking expert.
Very opinionated all of a sudden, yeah, exactly. but equally trying to hide their cluelessness, which is really funny to watch. And I just kind of, to be honest as well, I do find that happens a lot when the World Cup's on, and I'm guilty of it myself. I'm not the biggest football fan. I do follow a bit, but again, when the World Cup's on, I get really into it, and I just think it's really funny how in this country we get really really into the World Cup all of a sudden. So I wanted to write a song about that, really, the sort of inverted commas again glory supporters who jump in at the last minute to be part of the fun. So I wrote this song called This Is The One. It'll be out on the 20th of October. I'm not sure when we're posting this episode, but it'll probably be out by the time we're chatting now. So it's going to be hopefully a new little anthem for England.
Excellent. And we're going to round up the show now. And we'll finish off by playing that song. I just want to say thanks, everybody, for sticking around. Massive thanks to you, Chris. Thanks for sticking with us and joining in and just being part of the team. It's been lots of fun having you on.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And Richie, always a pleasure with you, my dear boy.
Yes, thank you, Wayne. Job well done. Thank you.
We managed it to the end, mate.
We've done it this time.
Yeah.
We've got a whole episode.
Got my arms raised in the air and we've done it. That's it. We're at the end. You even won the episode. I won the quiz. All's forgiven. Job's a good one. Chris, forgot to ask, where can people find you all over the internet?
So you can find me at christavener.co.uk. I'll spell that because there's lots of misspellings. It's T-A-V-E-N-E-R. ChrisTavener.co.uk, and you can find me with that name, Chris Tavener, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and even TikTok. I have all sorts of stuff online, and I have a few EPs out and a live album too.
If you want to find us, you can find us at yhhtmpc.com. over there that you'll find everything we do. You'll find all the podcasts, all the blogs, everything to do with music, some of the random podcasts over there as well. If you want to send in your music and be part of what we do, you can send your music and your EPKs into info@yhhtmpc.com. over there, a member of the team will take a listen to your music and will maybe give you a place on the show or somewhere on a blog, or there's lots of stuff going on. Go check out the Side B episodes. That's all about the independent artists. It's not as entertaining as this side, but it's still good. You get to listen to some good new music. And that's pretty much it. Support us on Patreon, please, because I've just had to buy a new fucking computer and I've got no money, and this whole thing is costing me a fortune. So yeah, if you want to support us on Patreon, you can do that, and there'll be some benefits over there also, and we'll love you forever, and you can join our members area, and then you can post all your music over there and we'll carry on supporting you and shit. So yeah, we're done, we're going, I'm done. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Wayne, and until next time, I have been Richie.
I have been Wayne.
And our guest has been
Chris Tavener.
And I've been the great and almighty Austin. Thanks for listening, if indeed you still are.
I didn't want to watch it this year. I didn't want to get sucked in. But now I'm skipping work for every England match, screaming when we win. And I told my friends I was not intrigued, but I'm cartwheeling shirtless now, with bunting round my head like a glorious crown. Well, everybody tried to convince me. When they put the TV on, I'm sure I said I just don't care. But suddenly it's all that I want, 'cause this is the one, this is the one. Raising up the jewels we made, singing from the Cornish coast to Whitley Bay. This is the one, this is the one. It's the only thing I believe in. It's gonna make me proud of where I'm from. Hope isn't gone. England, come on. This is the one. I thought I wouldn't get so swept up. I thought I wouldn't cry this time. I've declared my love for this England team on a cardboard sign. And I told myself I was staying cool when I booked to get a face tattoo. 'Cause now it's our turn, lads, getting all the way through. At times it can be hard to imagine when you have to wait this long. I know I'm not a football god, but no one's gonna tell me I'm wrong. 'Cause this is the one, this is the one. Raising up the jewels we made, singing from the Cornish coast to Whitley Bay. This is the one, this is the one. It's the only thing I believe in. It's gonna make me proud of where I'm from. Hope isn't gone. England, come on, this is the one. We're praying for the second coming at the shrine of young Bobby Moore. When the three lions are roaring, proving all the cynics wrong, you know I'll be the nutty shouting, pretending I was there all along. 'Cause this is the one, this is the one. Singing from the Cornish coast to Whitley Bay. This is the one, this is the one. It's the only thing I believe in. It's gonna make me proud of where I'm from. Hope isn't gone. England, come on. This is the one, this is the one. Raising up the jewels we made.
That's a wrap, and you got the fade out. Do you know what? The fade out started to come back in a lot more. There was a point where people stopped fading out and music just stopped, but it's coming back in again. The production on that, on your music, is phenomenal. Who does the production for you?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's I recorded at a place called Green Velvet Studios in Manchester, and it was mastered elsewhere, but yeah, the name escapes me, the guy who mastered it. But yeah, they did most of the production. They did the mixing as well. So,
and all the bells, sounds and whistles, were they all your ideas? Because I heard like the clang, was it a clanger type thing that you spin round the
rattle?
Yeah, things like that in there. Were they all your, like, all the sounds and all that stuff, was that all your idea, or did the producer
I mean, it was quite collaborative, to be fair, as well. In the studio we were chucking a little different ideas of stuff that we wanted to do. The rattle especially was like something the percussion guy brought in, and we were like, yeah, we have to have that. And like there's the percussion doing the doon 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 England like beat halfway through it as well. We just wanted to chuck in a few kind of like football tropes, I guess.
Yeah.
In there.
And you say you put a percussion guy, is it like a session player? So he's not someone you actually knew?
Yeah, it was a guy that I'd known for a few years called Dan Weeb. And he's a really good percussionist and drummer from up here in Manchester. He does an awful lot of drumming for different projects. So, yeah, it was someone in the studio brought in, but I've known him for a few years as well on the Manchester music circuit.
I always say that when people ask me about what I play, when I play an instrument, I always say I'm a percussionist. It makes me sound more less like a monkey than sound like a drummer. But yeah, great song. Love that a lot. And obviously, we'll leave all the links and everything to you in the show notes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.